Bow our heads to pray. Father, we do thank you so much for the gift of your word to us, and we pray that as we look together today, so by your Holy Spirit, you would be our teacher, that we might learn not just what your word says, but understand how it applies to our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So it would be great if you can keep Colossians chapter 3 open in front of you. We're going to be looking particularly at verses 1 to 4 of Colossians chapter 3. But first off, I need a volunteer for a very simple task. So someone who's going to be willing to be a volunteer. Emma, thank you so much. Can you please tell me what this is? You're allowed to open the bag and have a look and see what you think. It's a sat nav. Very good. It is a useful toy. Thank you very much. That's all I need. It's a sat nav. And how does one make a sat nav work? I have no idea how it works, but what do we have to do to make a sat nav work? John, go for it. Yep. You have to program the destination, okay. And in my case, you can click on it, and it offers you a postcode and things, or at least it says, you know, you can set the postcode for it. And obviously, if you happen to be listening to this in America, you won't understand what a sat-nav is, but it's a GPS thing. Anyway, the destination that we want to reach, that's what we have to set. And the sat-nav tells us how to get there. It doesn't lose sight of the final goal, even if we take a wrong turning along the way. This is my second sat-nav. And my first one was a sort of slightly simpler one, and I had a girl who used to speak to me. And every time I took a wrong turning, I swear that she sighed before she said, recalculating. But the principle is that it's there. She knew exactly what the final destination was. The fact that I had taken a wrong turn or turned too soon or whatever else you can do with sat-navs didn't distract the sat-nav from knowing exactly where I was to go. We have to set the destination into our sat-navs. And I want you just to have a quick look at chapter 3 of Colossians and verse 2. Set your minds on the things that are above. What we're doing, what Paul is saying to us in a sense, is that we are keying into our spiritual sat-nav, our minds, the things that are above. And just as the sat-nav does not waver from that destination, even if we take a wrong route, so, Paul is telling us, set our minds, program our spiritual sat-navs on the spiritual and not on the earthly. That's the command of verse 2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. But I've got slightly ahead of myself because we're looking at verse 2 when, of course, verse 1 comes first. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. If you have been raised with Christ. It's clearly stating what we know already, that not everyone is a Christian. It is a choice. And therefore, the very simple question today for all of you, have you been raised with Christ? Which is another way of saying, are you a Christian? And are you sure? We cannot be a Christian without first becoming a Christian. And we become a Christian when we hear and respond to the good news about Jesus. And so what I thought I would do today is just very briefly summarize the system that we use to help us to understand the good news about Jesus. You'll remember that in this series of examples, the Two Ways to Live program, that God is always represented as a crown. And what we're told is that he is the loving ruler of the world, but that's why he's the crown, and he's made the world, and he's made human beings to be rulers over the world under him. But human beings, we don't like that. We don't mind the ruling bit, but we certainly don't want anyone to rule over us. And so what has happened is that though God is still there, and the world is still there, human beings have said, I'm going to reject God as my ruler, and I'm going to try and run things my own way. So I'm going to put a little crown over my own head and try and do things for myself and run things my own way. The problem is that we can't even control ourselves, let alone society, let alone the world. The question arises, what is God going to do about that rebellion? Well, we're told that God's not going to let us rebel forever. And God's punishment for rebellion is death and judgment. And that all sounds rather harsh until we understand that the good news about Jesus is that God has sent into the world the man Jesus. And he always lived in right relationship with God, always under God's rule. And yet when he died on the cross, he took our punishment and brought forgiveness. And that's not all, of course. The Christian faith is that Jesus didn't stay dead. On the third day, he rose, and he was raised in order to be ruler of the entire world. And that's what this arrow is about. And he now gives new life. He has conquered death and gives new life and will return as judge. And that leaves us with that place of two ways to live. We can either continue trying to run things our own way, doing our own thing. And, you know, often and often you have heard me say how frequently it is that you go to funerals of people who are not Christians, and the music that is played somewhere or other is Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way. And there is not a better definition of what sin is about than to say, I lived life my way. And that's a really scary thing, that people have no idea what they're saying. Well, that just was Dad. He did it his way. Frank Sinatra singing, I Did It My Way. That's all that it is. Just saying, I'm going to go on doing things my way. Or we can say, I realize that doing it my way is going to lead to judgment and death. And therefore, I want to come under Jesus. And that's what I mean about the necessity of actually coming, making that positive choice. Years and years and years ago, just before Christmas in 1978, when I was becoming a Christian, the guy who led me to the Lord at that time wasn't married, and nor am I, but he was saying it is very similar in that sense to getting married. It's making that commitment to one other person for life. And that's the same sort of thing. You can't, I mean, you know, people can live together and they can have trial marriages, but you don't actually, you cannot be married until you have made that lifelong commitment to your wife or to your husband. And it's exactly the same with being a Christian. We cannot be a Christian without first becoming a Christian, realizing that I'm a rebel against God, and realizing that Jesus has come in order to take the punishment I deserve, and I'm willing to say, Lord Jesus, please take me on. And so that understanding is something that we need to get very deep into ourselves. That by nature, every single human being who has ever been born, apart from the Lord Jesus, is a rebel. Some, of course, rebel more than others. But all rebellion carries the punishment of death and judgment. God would not be perfect if he said that sin doesn't matter. You know, sometimes we're tempted to say, well, it was only a little thing. I didn't do anything very... And other people have done stuff far worse, so God can forgive me. No, if he said, don't tell lies, and we've told lies, we'd suddenly make God less than perfect if we said, well, you could just ignore a little lie. Or, you know, well, God, it was only 50 quid that I stole. It's, you know, lots of other people, they steal far more than that. God said, don't steal. So that whole thing of wanting to try to squash God's standards down so that we can get ourselves over them, it isn't the way that it works. But the Lord Jesus has come to take the punishment for all sin so that we can be fully forgiven. The offer of salvation made by Jesus is open to everyone, but we have personally to say, Lord, you are God. I am a rebel. Thank you that you sent Jesus to take the punishment for sin that I deserved. Please now take me on. Give me new life in Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I may be spiritually alive and increasingly obedient to your ways. We need to make a prayer of that sort personally. It's not good enough that someone prays it for you. It is a prayer that all of us need to say. And just as I can remember the day in 1978 when I became a Christian, just as Barry and his wife can remember exactly the day that they got married here at St. Stephen's, those significant days are important. Being able to say that is the beginning of a new phase of life. But the understanding is that when we have made that sort of statement, when we have said, I am a rebel, I do deserve judgment, but actually thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for me. Thank you that you have given me that fresh start. Thank you that you have made me spiritually alive and I was dead in my sin. Then when we begin to take that on, that by God's grace, Jesus has received us through our reliance on his death and resurrection. That's the wonderful good news about the gospel. Then we can say, yes, we have been raised with Christ. We've been united into his death on the cross. The old person that we were has died with him and been punished with him. And we have been raised with him to new life. And that is a relationship which is an eternal relationship. It is new life in the spiritual realm. And that's a new life that's going to last far beyond physical death into the age to come. The problem is, and what Paul is speaking about here, is that Christians often forget who we are. Because we disobey what Paul is teaching in these verses in Colossians 3. If you have been raised with Christ, in other words, if you have become a Christian, and you would say, yes, I can know when it was that I prayed that prayer and I became a Christian. If you have done that, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. We're to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated. And what can happen, of course, is that it's relatively easy on a Sunday morning in church to say, yeah, I believe that. And then you go out through the door and into the real world, or I go back into the vicarage, whatever, and the world comes back in big measure. And we can think that the things of earth are real, and we can forget what is really true. Let me say that again. We can forget that we can think that the things of earth are real. Well, that's what we're taught in our whole science, the whole way of technology and everything. The world is real. We can measure it. We can smell it. We can taste it. We can touch it. We can hear it. We can see it. All of that stuff. And we think that, therefore, that is what is real. And we forget completely, even though we subscribe in church to the idea that there really is a God and he really has acted in the world giving the Lord Jesus, we can forget all of that spiritual realm and we can think just the world that we see and smell and touch and taste, that's the thing that really matters. That's the thing that's really real. And we forget what is really true, which is the spiritual realm. And of course, when we drift into that place, we are no longer setting our spiritual sat-navs on the things that are above, and we're allowing ourselves instead to set our whole mind, our whole mindset, our whole way of thinking on things that are on earth. We think we find ourselves living, therefore, by the world's ways and not by heaven's truths. We forget the spiritual realm. We forget the devil and his demons. We forget angels. We even forget Jesus and his kingdom purposes because we get totally overwhelmed by the things of this world. We get caught up in the importance of having family and relationships. We get caught up in the importance of career. We get caught up in the importance of money and financial things. We get caught up in terms of health and all of those issues. There are so many things that they're not wrong, but we're to get them in the right proportion. They are a thing of earth, and we are to set our minds into the spiritual realm. We're to remember where we're going. We're now kingdom people. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. We are raised with Christ. That is that wonderful privilege of grace. We are given God's riches at Christ's expense. That is the thing that we are to know and to remember and to rejoice in as to who we are in Christ. And we're to go on remembering that 24/7. Because if we fail to do that, then we get lost. Sort of spiritually, we get confused. We're finding ourselves being exactly the same as other human beings. We set our minds on things of the earth, not on things of God, not on spiritual things. And we find ourselves getting very confused. And I just want to, because I've spent a little bit of time being ill this year, take illness, for example. Are we more likely to believe what the doctors say to us than what God, through his word, is saying to us? It's a good question. We remember in the scriptures that Jesus, when Isaiah was writing about the Lord Jesus in Isaiah 53, were told that it is by his bruises that we are healed, by his wounds that we are healed, in Isaiah 53 and verse 5. It's by his bruises that we are healed. And we need to claim that and remember that and receive that, whatever it is that the doctors are saying to us. In the same way that we need to remember Psalm 139 verse 16, your eyes beheld my unformed substance. He's speaking about life in the womb. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. So what the psalmist is saying is that the person of God, the child of God, as we are when we become Christians, all our days are planned in God's hands. So what the doctor is saying is, in that sense, irrelevant. We're not to get thrown off, as it were, throwing away our spiritual sat-nav, if something scary or something different is coming at us in the world. We're not to fix our minds on things of the earth. We hear the word cancer, for example, and our minds can get entirely fixed on things of the earth, and we can get terrified, and we can forget that we're children of God. It takes a mindset change to remember the spiritual realm, and to remember the promises of God, and to remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and our status now as Christians. We need to be absolutely sure that we are Christians, which is why I unashamedly have taken you through Two Ways to Live Again at the beginning of this academic year. Because we need to know that we have made that movement of coming from being a rebel against God to submitting to the Lord Jesus and relying on his death and resurrection, not on the fact that I'm better than my neighbor, not on the fact that I come to church on Sundays, not on other things that we can claim as good works. The only basis that I'm put right with God is because Jesus died for me. And that is true for all people who are Christian. But once I have received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I am united with him. I'm therefore living in the spiritual realm, and I need to remember 24/7 that I live in the spiritual realm. Now, in the spiritual realm, yes, we have an enemy. Yes, we have demons who can attack. There are all sorts of things that are going on. We need to be walking close to Christ, remembering that, in order that those spiritual things are developed in us, that we begin to be those who both rely on Jesus and are reflecting Jesus to those around us. And that's why the later verses that we haven't read today are very much about putting off, like an old set of clothes, getting rid of the stuff the way the world does things, in order that we put on the new stuff of the way Christians do things, because we are new creations in Christ. And we're to get excited about who we are in Christ and rejoice over who we are in Christ and know who we are in Christ 24/7. Not just be who we are in Christ on Sunday mornings. And the pressure from the world is enormous. We all know that. We look at the world coming in newspapers and televisions and radio and stuff. We go and we work in the world and we listen to people who believe that there are all sorts of different ways to God, or they don't believe that there's God at all. And it's difficult for us to fix our course. And that is why Paul is saying, set your minds. Make the intention. In the old days, I thought about trying to use the illustration of just an old-fashioned compass, you know, and you set the direction that you're going, and you go that way. But I reckon sat-navs were better, because then we do fix the destination. I'm a Christian person. I'm a child of God, because God has sent his Son to die for me. And therefore, I'm not going to waver from that. I may wander off, I may go wrong, I may fall into the world's clutches in different ways, I may find myself doing stuff that I know I shouldn't have done. I repent and come back. It's like that girl in my old sat-nav recalculating. She's coming back to the right way. Sometimes that right way will involve turning right round in order to get back on the right route. But we're heading that way. We're setting our minds on things that are above. And so just in the difficulties of life at work, do you remember when you're having, you know, when your boss is being awkward or when a patient is being particularly tiresome or when something else seems to be really difficult and frustrating, do you remember that you're a child of God? Do you, for instance, pray about the problem or the person that's difficult? It's setting your mind on things that are above. It is remembering all the time that we have been made alive in Christ. And it is a wonderful and exciting privilege. It makes us different. So that, as Jesus says of us, we are to live in the world. Yes, of course, we can't live anywhere else. But not of the world. Not by the world's standards. And therefore, cheerfully, we will say that we will live differently. And that will mean that sometimes people will laugh at us, people will think that we're boring, people will think that we're the ultimate of whatever the opposite of cool is. We will be those who sometimes people will reject us because our moral code, our standard, our way of life is different. It's okay. You want to be different on the last day. You want the Lord Jesus to welcome you home on the last day. There will be moments where a choice has to be made. It's not always going to be easy. We're told that in the world we will have trouble. But Jesus says, don't worry, I have overcome the world. And that is the thing that we need to rejoice in. So if we have been raised with Christ, this great statement, just, you know, do you think of yourself as being someone who has been raised by Christ? You needn't fear death whenever it comes because you have been raised by Christ. That's the great truth of the Christian faith, that we can be confident about that. But there's a consequence of our confidence, that we seek the things that are above. We seek Christ. He's seated at the right hand of God. And so immediately we're thinking about the spiritual realm, because that is where God is. We don't see the Lord Jesus personally, physically in front of us. We won't until he returns. We have the comfort and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives to enable us to remember these things and to rejoice in them and to live differently. So just coming back to our verses in conclusion. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we thank you for the amazing work that you have done for us, for each one of us, in the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you loved us enough that you gave your one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Father, we thank you for that great foundational truth of the Christian faith. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to help us to set our minds on things that are above, so that we don't waver and wander and muddle and get in and out of these things, but we remember all the time that we live in a spiritual realm and we live as Christian people. Father, we pray that you would help us to set our minds on things that are above and less to set our minds on things that are of the earth. We pray that you'd help us to be exemplary human beings, because we're living life in the way that you planned life to be lived. But Father, we pray that you'd give us boldness and courage in the places where we have to live differently from those around us, where the pressure of the world or other things will say, behave in this way, and we want to change. So Lord, please help us in this, and we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.